Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In part 6 of our Windows Azure IaaS series, Matt Hester welcomes John Saville, founder of Saville Tech, to discuss how Windows Azure and System Center 2012 work together. Tune in as they chat about the importance of System Center Orchestrator, App Controller, and Service Manager, as well as how these components integrate with Azure Infrastructure Services. Matt, the mic is yours.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Thank you for tuning into this episode, this latest episode of Windows Azure IaaS and the series. I have a fantastic Windows and System Center expert on the phone with us, John. So, John, why don't you say hello, folks, introduce a little bit where your expertise is and what you like to do with all this wonderful technology we have at our disposal from an IT perspective.
Great. No, my pleasure. So my name is John Saville. I've been working with Windows, for about 20 years now. I created the ntfact.com. And I've been writing for like Windows IT Pro magazine. I've written 5 books around Windows, and I just love the technology and love to share what I know.
Yeah, and you're like I am. We love the IT side of it, and I think over the years we've seen such an evolution of technology. From, you know, I think it seems like just a couple years ago virtualization was really introduced that kind of changed the game again, and we have this next generation really kind of changing the game. In the cloud and in infrastructure as a services. So what have you kind of seen from that perspective of what some of those key impacts over the last few years of being and kind of where we're going towards the cloud?
I think the cloud's a very interesting one. It's obviously got a huge amount of potential if you think about the idea of being able to scale very, very quickly, being able to start up new projects, even new companies with very, very little initial investment. You're kind of paying as you go. But one of the challenges I think we see in a lot of companies is that whole trust that you're kind of giving over your resources and running them outside of the walls of your company. Now, I think that's very typical in everything we see. I always go back to a great example that I didn't create, but it's the idea of if 30 years ago, we imagined that a huge amount of the things we use today would be manufactured in like communist China. People have gone, there's no way that would ever happen. And now today you've built up that trust, we respect the quality of those goods, and we're fine with that. And I think the same thing is going to be true of the cloud. Right now there's a lot of, I'm not sure about the security of my services running in the cloud, I'm not sure I can trust the availability, but I think over time as it proves itself, we're going to see a lot more going to the cloud and companies will really embrace the benefits it brings.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head right now. I think a lot of people are just kind of looking around. They're at the edge of a lake, dipping their toes, and like, I'll jump in if you jump in, and nobody's jumping in yet. I mean, there's some customers that are really taking advantage of it, and really at the end of the day, they either have to find, after they get that trust level, it's like, okay, I think we're going to be all right with this. It's kind of like buying flowers on the web. I don't think we're going to lose anything, but now we have to look at from a perspective of, okay, is this something that I want to step into, and is it a strategic advantage to my company, or is it going to provide cost savings for my company? And I think when you look at the cloud, those are the two only reasons people are going to look at. Is it a strategic advantage or a cost perspective? Any thoughts on that or anything else they look at?
No, I mean, I think definitely from the strategic perspective, there are huge advantages there. I mean, if you literally look at any company that is not a dead set standard usage, if you think of the cloud and the ability, even if you still want on-premise resources, the ability to burst out to the cloud and scale up from 0 to 60 in a second, that's huge. Being able to spin up those resources as you need them gives companies that ability to respond that much quicker than anyone else. And from a cost perspective, you always look at the pizza example. Super Bowl Sunday, 10 times more pizzas ordered than any other day ever. Well, really, that's not realistic for any company to stand up that amount of infrastructure all year. But if you can use the cloud and only pay kind of as you go, pay as you need it, that's a huge financial advantage as well. And I think on the trust side, people are starting with test and dev. They're starting with the non-top tier applications and sort of, as you said, put your toe in the water and make sure Piranha doesn't bite it off. And I think as they're getting that trust, you're going to see more and more go into there. And obviously, infrastructure services is a start. It's the simplest way. It's a VM in the cloud, and there's benefits there. It's replicated, so you've got some assurance you're not going to lose your VM, lose your data. But then you can start looking at that platform as a service and not have to worry about the OS anymore. And then software as a service, you don't have to worry about anything. So I think you have these different ramps onto the cloud that companies will get to in time.
So one of the things you also mentioned, John, in that last statement was we talked about bursting in the cloud, and really the question is, how do you know? I mean, unless you have predictable bursts like Super Bowl Sunday, or you have tax day coming up like we had in April of last month, or you got mentioned on Oprah and your book gets really popular, how do you know when you need to burst to the cloud? I mean, because sometimes those bursts can be very unpredictable. What kind of tools do folks use in their data centers to determine that?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're out in the cloud already, it gives you a web-based interface. You can create VMs, modify them. You can see CPU, memory, network, storage drives. You can get details about them. But it's really focused about one virtual machine at a time. Now, on-premise, we have System Center. So that's what we used to think of as Config Manager, Ops Manager, DPM, Service Manager, Orchestrator, all these different components brought together. And that's really what now integrates with Azure. So in Service Pack 1 for 2012, there was support added for Windows Server 2012, Windows 8. But most importantly for this conversation was Azure IIS. So things like Operations Manager, App Controller, Orchestrator can now all tie in to Azure. So this means that on-premise, for example, Operations Manager, it can track not only your on-premise virtual machines, physical hosts, networks, switches, whatever, then it's going to hook into your Azure infrastructure service and your Azure apps that are running. It can track the usage of all those things and trigger those alerts just as we would normally. And then those alerts could go and talk to Service Manager, create an incident, which could then call Orchestrator, which can really do anything. And there's actually an Azure integration pack now available for Orchestrator. It's actually one of the coolest new integration packs. It's got something called Cascading Dependencies. And if you look at most integration packs for Orchestrator, you have 50 different activities. It's like, well, okay, well, which activity should I use? With the Azure integration pack, you just have, I think, seven or eight core ones, virtual machine, storage, network. And then when you drag that onto your canvas to use it, as you start selecting what you want to do, new options just appear. So it's actually very, very intuitive.
Well, and you talk about, I think, one of the big kahunas, and when I think about kind of the brains of System Center outfit, I think Orchestrator really comes into that. Tell folks about Orchestrator and kind of the power behind the covers, because it is a real hidden gem that if you have System Center 2012, folks, you have Orchestrator.
Right. So I guess the one-line thing is I always think of it as an IT process automation toolbox. If you were going to carry one thing to that island, I'd want it to be Orchestrator. If we expand that out, if you think about all the different systems you have in your data center, some Windows, some Unix, Linux, whatever. And today to do a process, you may do parts of the process on console A, parts of the process on console B, then some on C. You're constantly leaping between different platforms and different applications. What Orchestrator does is it really connects to any system. It can connect via things like PowerShell, it can connect via SSH, it can hook into SNMP, and also there are these things called integration packs. An integration pack is really a bundle of activities around a certain product or a certain type of technology or process. So there's integration packs for System Center, integration packs for HP products, integration packs even for ESX. Integration packs for really everything out there. But even if there isn't an integration pack, if there is some way to communicate with a system over the network, I can hook into that for Orchestrator. And I literally, on a canvas, I drag and drop activities onto this canvas. I can say, well, if this activity is successful, now go to this one. If that one fails, we'll go and do this. It has a data bus to transfer data throughout all these different processes. So I can take what's really a very, very complex process across 10, 20, 50 different systems and make it one runbook. And I can click and say, run that runbook. And it's going to perform that entire process for me. So it's phenomenal. If you think about what you have to do, this is going to do it for you.
Yeah, and I think of it, I describe it as it's kind of like your IT brain on steroids inside of an automated process. And the one thing, folks, is the tool we talk about. This is one of those ones that get some training into it. Because, John, you and I had a chance to go sit in with some of the folks and learn about it, and I think I had a headache 2 hours into it. And the only task he gave me was restart the server. Well, there was a restart thing that I could drag on, make it work. And he's like, prove that it came back up. And I'm like, okay, then how do you do that? So there's a lot of I think the tool is relatively easy to do, but the planning that goes on before the tool is probably the biggest part of work that you have to do before we really dig into Orchestrator.
You have to understand what your process is. I mean, the tool can do anything, but if you don't really understand what the process is and what it should look like, you can't describe that within an application. So yes, understanding what it can do, but really understanding what your processes are is critical.
Yeah, and that's the big part about it. But understand that, and John made a key statement, is that Orchestrator really can talk to anything because it knows how to talk script languages. And when I say script languages, really any script kind of language you want to throw at it, it can get to that environment. In our context, Orchestrator knows how to speak cloud. It knows how to speak Azure IaaS. So you talked about some of those tasks that are there. Take us through a little bit of that kind of that story about how that whole System Center flavor might spin up. Maybe, hey, we want to spin up a virtual machine in Azure that might be that endpoint. Maybe it's some alert that came from SCOM. Take us through a little bit of that story of how that occurs because it's really cool.
Yeah, so there's actually different ways you can think about creating a virtual machine using System Center. So we'll take the automated fashion. So let's say we're using Operations Manager. And the fantastic thing is I can use my on-prem Operations Manager infrastructure with Azure virtual machines the same way I would treat an on-prem. I can install my Operations Manager agent in those virtual machines. If I have a sort of site-to-site VPN, which we have now for Azure, then great. If you don't, as long as you open up the right firewall ports, it will still work across those Azure VMs. So you're getting all of that monitoring, all those best practices, those alerting when you're on-prem Ops Manager for Azure. So let's say, yes, you trigger. Let's say, hey, we're seeing these 8 virtual machines that are part of a load balance farm, higher than a certain utilization. Well, it could go and talk to Service Manager. Service Manager is our sort of ITIL, our configuration management database for all of System Center, and in fact, all of your data center. And it can raise an incident. And you could make an automated response from that, or maybe it goes to an operator who says, okay, click yes, do this action. That's then going to talk to Orchestrator. Orchestrator has a runbook that you created previously that connects to your Azure instance. It stands up to maybe some new storage. It deploys a virtual machine template, which could be Windows or it could be Linux. They're fully supported in Azure. It deploys it through Orchestrator talking to Azure. It could add it to that load balance farm and then report back to Service Manager. Yes, that creation was successful. You can go and close that alert in Operations Manager. So not just did it automate that process, but this is fully trackable through Service Manager. I have a step-by-step of everything that happened. Everything Orchestrator did is auditable, and I can go and look back on that. So that's the automated way. Also, we have App Controller. So App Controller was introduced in 2012, and it kind of killed off the Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal, which was there in the RTM of 2012, but it sucked. And that's gone in SP1. Now we just have App Controller. And that's this Silverlight-based web portal where users can do self-service or administrators can use it. And I can create virtual machines on my on-prem. So I can expose those private clouds I've created in Virtual Machine Manager, and users can go based on their quotas and create virtual machines. But it also hooks into your Azure subscriptions. So if I do have that Azure subscription, users can go and create a virtual machine in Azure. They can start it in Azure. They can go and create snapshots. They can open up endpoints, i.e. like firewall exceptions. They can go and communicate with it. If I have a virtual machine on-premise, well, I can save it to my library and then copy it to Azure. So it's actually going to help me move things from on-prem to off-prem. So it really is this very, very seamless experience for the end users that they're now using one pane of glass, and they really create it where they want.
Well, and I think you brought up a really couple interesting points there, is that oftentimes when people deploy System Center, and we've talked about this, they think of it as just one product. But really the true value to an organization when they've purchased this product is the full suite working all together and in conjunction. And I think that's important that folks need to kind of get out of this conversation, and that it's something that you want to think out and plan. But this isn't Star Trek stuff, right? I mean, this is occurring now. People know how to do this thing. This can happen. This is real.
No, definitely. I mean, you get people who have deployed one part, and it's often Ops Manager or it's Config Manager. Yep. But exactly the story I started to tell, I mean, as soon as you add in Orchestrator, that foundation level that everything else can hook into, well, suddenly you're bursting out any of your capabilities to the entire data center and out into the cloud. Service Manager is this central point that talks to Config Manager, to Ops Manager, to VMM, to Orchestrator. So you think about, well, what is my asset state? I look at an asset in Service Manager, and it shows me all the inventory details. What patches it's missing, it's pulled that in from Config Manager. It shows me all the alerts and problems, it's pulling that in from Operations Manager. I can go and trigger things to happen through Orchestrator. So yes, I mean, the true power comes when you put all these things together. And if you think about cloud services, I mean, yes, System Center 2012 is phenomenal in terms of its functionality, but sometimes it can be daunting. I mean, you think about private cloud. We talk about using Service Manager, Orchestrator, Operations Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, and people are like, where do I start? There are great solution accelerators out there you can just download, and it's step by step, it has components, so those products to actually get you up and running very, very quickly.
Well, and I also think at that level, when you get that level of integration, that talking to a really good provider that can do all those integration components is also going to be really helpful. Get that unimpassioned, uninvested, paid third party to come in and validate that. And when I look at a lot of the customers, that's where they end up. They might try to start their own, they get it part of the way, and they want to take to the next step, and they're not quite sure how. That's where those partners can really come in and help them kind of put all that coding together and put all that wonderful things that are there together.
You can be the smartest person in the world, but there's so much to these technologies that there'll be mistakes. So why not hire someone who's made those mistakes somewhere else? And there's a team of 50 of them, and they all share their mistakes, and you learn from that. I mean, you get better from that, but it accelerates your deployment and makes it that much better. So absolutely, I mean, partners for these sort of things is fantastic.
And one thing I want to talk about there, because I get this question a lot, and in my brain, I wish one day they would combine them. But you kind of talked about App Controller and Service Manager, but they almost do almost the same thing in a sense when you look at them. What are some of the key differentiators there, and do we think that maybe eventually they'll combine into one product because they have a lot of similarities there, or is that something they should be separated? I want to get your thoughts on that.
So, no, I mean, I think, so if we think about App Controller is only a web portal where users can go and create virtual machines and manage virtual machines. That's really all it does. Now, those virtual machines can be on-prem, it can be off-prem, it could be with a service provider if they're using the service provider framework, but that's all it does. But what it doesn't do is workflow. There's no way I can go and request a virtual machine and someone else has to authorize that. It doesn't give you things like showback, so I can't go and show, well, which business units in my organization are using what amount of resources. I can't charge them potentially for what they're using. Then you look at Service Manager. So Service Manager does a phenomenal amount of stuff. It's that CMDB, it has workflow management, work items, configuration items, hooks into everything. But if we try and think about, well, the overlap with App Controller, it's the web portal. So Service Manager also has a web portal. And it's actually the service catalog for your entire IT org. So you can expose those runbooks you create in Orchestrator, so for example, create a virtual machine, but instead of just creating the VM, it can go for a workflow. So when I request that as a user through Service Manager, it will go to my manager and say, hey, do you approve this virtual machine creation? Then we're going to talk to Orchestrator and talk to VM and create the VM. So the end result is the same, but I have a lot more granularity through Service Manager in terms of workflow. But also, that service catalog is not just create a VM. It could be I need an application deployed by a config manager. I want to raise an incident. I need a new chair. I need a new keyboard. Anything Orchestrator can do, which is anything, I can expose through the Service Manager service catalog. So Service Manager is this big. App Controller is this big. So generally we'd say, well, you'd want to use Service Manager, except right now, Service Manager can't let you connect to the virtual machines and manage the virtual machines in the same nice Silverlight interface App Controller does. So long term, I think they're going to come. At some point, they need to come together. You don't want these two separate panes of glass. But for right now, that's kind of the difference between them. App Controller might be managing the VMs you've already created. Service Manager is workflow creation, creating new clouds, and everything else.
Well, and I just ahead of this thought in my brain of it, this Orchestrator robot that we have in our environment, when my keyboard breaks, actually comes in and drops the keyboard off, plugs it in and plugs out the old one. Eventually, when we get the robotic technology to do that, folks, I'm sure Orchestrator will know how to control all of that.
A Roomba on steroids. Roomba just come in and drop your keyboard off, definitely.
One of the things that you mentioned, and we talked about System Center, and we talked about that story, and folks, even though we're talking about Azure IaaS, John mentioned something a long time ago that's very important that I want to make sure we don't miss. you can just go to the Azure IaaS virtual machine, install the System Center Operation Manager agent, and all of a sudden you have that full fidelity that's in there. And a lot of things that I try to tell customers is when they go to Azure, that server is a server. It's fundamentally no different than any other server in your data center, except for it's not in your data center. It happens to be in the cloud. And is it really any difference that when I install the agent on those virtual machines up in the cloud, there really is no difference, right?
No, because as far as the agent is concerned, when you run it inside a virtual machine, all it sees is the virtual machine's operating system. So in terms of what you can do, it's exactly the same. It's got all that same intelligence, the same management packs are used. Now, obviously, when it's an on-prem virtual machine, Operations Manager can also monitor the Hyper-V host. It can monitor the network switch that it's connected to start giving you that full sort of root cause analysis. But the whole point of Azure is Microsoft's managing the server. Microsoft's managing the network switches, so you don't need to worry about that. Your area of concern really starts with the operating system, and that's what Operations Manager starts monitoring when it's in the cloud.
Well, and I think that's one of the things, and a lot of people, when we tell folks, I think our SLA says, for most workloads, it's 3.5 nines. They're like, well, only 3.5 nines? I'm like, do you realize? Hey, kind of educate the folks, John, a little bit about what 3.5 nines mean, because that's actually very, very good, and even with our Azure portal, even though that's what we say in the SLA, other than my trials timing out, I've never had Azure stop working for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that joke, I don't want 3 nines, I want 3 tens. It's a three nines and the five. I mean, that's hardly any downtime all year. And remember as well, the whole point of these things is you're going to deploy multiple instances of these services. It's highly monitored. You can have different upgrade domains. So if you're patching things on a schedule, you're not actually going to lose any kind of availability. So yes, I mean, that level of uptime is phenomenal. I mean, certainly I have not seen that sort of downtime either, but things will happen. I mean, it's just inevitable. At some point, I mean, things can happen. But remember, those virtual machines, they're replicated 3 times. They're using that same backend as your storage that's used for all the other things. So I have 3 copies of my data in that data center. Then it's geo-replicated somewhere else. So in terms of the protection for my virtual machine, I mean, it's a great stability there.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to make sure we drove to, is that a lot of people, they talk about that trust level of the cloud, and they say, well, I only trust you 3.5 nines, but that's actually, when you look at it, and I'm glad you brought up the multiple copies and the geo-replicated copies under the cover, is that if that data center goes down, and God forbid if a natural disaster like a hurricane or a typhoon that we saw, the one thing I tell customers is that if you have to worry about those extra copies, you probably have bigger fish to fry than worrying about your data. But when you're ready to come back online, your data is there, and Azure almost provides that kind of a de facto disaster recovery center.
Yep, definitely. No, I mean, that VM is going to be there. They're going to replicate it, and you have that stability.
And that provides just an amazing kind of uptime. And how I position it, do you see a lot of folks, I know we talk about people are just dipping their toes, but I think even when people jump full and bore, say, I love the cloud, I want me some Azure, and I want it all day, I still don't think people are going to be that for their infrastructures. They're going to be more in a hybrid environment, using those site-to-site VPN or those endpoint connections to get into those servers. Is that what you're going to see as well? Because I don't ever see our on-premise data centers really going away, not for some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in that same mindset. I don't think the on-prem data center will ever completely disappear. I think there'll always be some workloads for some companies that they'll want to keep on-premise. But we're already starting to see some interesting types of service around using Azure almost for a disaster recovery scenario. So actually using it as a Hyper-V recovery service. So I can actually replicate my virtual machines out into Azure. So in a sort of disaster scenario, well, maybe I can fail over to Azure. And we're starting to see some customers looking at that and what's involved in sort of using that type of technology. Because right now you can't use Hyper-V replica. I cannot replicate a virtual machine to Azure. But there's processes that are starting to come out now in terms of actually, well, yeah, I'm going to use Azure maybe in a disaster scenario. Or exactly as you're saying, Joe, I don't have a disaster recovery site. And maybe there's the opposite of what we typically think of. Well, I'll just run my test and dev in Azure. Maybe for those really important apps that I have to have disaster recovery for, they're the ones I'm going to run in Azure. Because they're the ones that I need complete protection if my data center disappeared. So yes, we're seeing all these new scenarios now, and especially because we have that compatibility. Because you can have a VM in Azure and bring it back and run it on-prem on Hyper-V 2012, or take that VM from Hyper-V 2012 and run it in Azure, it really opens up a lot of possibilities. And it's fascinating to think of all the things you can do, but I think it's going to be a very exciting next few years.
Yeah, and all we need is unlimited bandwidth, so when we upload that 20 gig VHD file from on-premise, it occurs simultaneously instead of its 20 gig files going over the wire, the types of things that we have. So when we think about that, you know, John, just to kind of wrap up towards the end here, what are some of the things that you've seen with Azure? Because I see it every day. It seems like it changes every day. What are some of those changes? I know you talked about one there with Hyper-V. I'm really high on the backup service that seems to be coming in. It's currently in preview. What are some of the things that that got you really excited when you first saw it Azure and said, okay, now it's kind of finally arrived?
Do you know, I think the thing that's been stopping a lot of people was really around sort of some of the networking problems. Because it was like, well, how exactly am I going to do this hybrid? How am I going to connect my on-prem to my Azure? And there were solutions that mapped one virtual machine at a time to sort of on-premise. People were like, that really doesn't work. But what we now see is this site-to-site VPN, this secure connection between my on-premise and my Azure clouds that I basically create. So now I can move those services between and they can interact completely. So I think that is very, very exciting. I think that true compatibility, I talk about that a lot, but for me, that's huge. The fact that I can move my virtual machines around, the fact that Azure is running really Hyper-V 2012, that's amazing in terms of now what I can do. I'm not locking myself in that I have to put it there and I can never take it away. Hey, it's the same format. I'll put it out there, maybe I'll experiment and say, hey, and now I'm going to bring it back. Well, I'm going to run 2 on-prem and 5 off-prem. I think that's really exciting. It has a fantastic web portal. I mean, it is a really nice experience. And I think just the sheer magnitude of what we are supporting out there. We have Linux templates. Who would really think Microsoft would have Linux templates in Azure IIS? But they're out there. And there are some very interesting workloads that people probably never consider. And they're just going to run. It's a VM in the cloud. And now we have that management with System Center. And it is integrated with the same technology we use for on-prem, I can take all my existing skill set, my existing experience that I've learned for System Center, and just apply it to the cloud. And there's very little additional learning I need to do. So I think it's a phenomenal time.
Oh, outstanding. And I think you're right. I think we're kind of at another precipice of that, you know, next wave of just huge computing power coming to our data centers. So, John, I just want to say thank you for taking time to hang out with us today. Anything you got coming up? Any parting shots? Any last thoughts?
No, I really appreciate the opportunity. Obviously, we'll love talking to you. Keeping busy. Lots more articles coming out, doing some class stuff, but hope to see you again soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you, John, and thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Azure, and I as in you. Thank you, and have a great day.